Where does my girlfriend fall into my routine? It's something I've actually struggled with because when you're always on and you're so obsessed with work and you're so focused on what you're doing because you love that, you have to go, how do I make time for the outside world? How do I make time for life? And it's actually something that's gotten me in trouble in previous relationships, careers. And it was more from the stimulant side, but the ADHD side of you're so focused that you do forget that other stuff and you do forget how to pause it. And so what we do now that actually works is it's always sort of this connection, this call, this chat, this catch up around the 5 o'clock time when we're both off and we can at least have our moment, putting her into the routine, as weird as that sounds, where she goes, this is our time to talk. And then on weekends, it's okay. Is this a weekend where it's going to be working? Is this a weekend off? And fully committing to the off because there's no together and work. It really is all or nothing.
Welcome to Successful with ADHD. I'm Brooke Schnittman. Let's get started. Welcome everybody back to Successful with ADHD. Today I have Mikey Goldman. He is the original weighted pillow maker, and his company Quiet Mind is a wellness brand offering clever solutions to help people suffering from common disorders like ADHD, anxiety, stress, insomnia, and loneliness. I know I can feel you thinking, where can I get his pillow? Trust me, I got my hands on it, and you're going to thank yourself for listening to this episode. So Quiet Mind provides a compact and convenient alternative to weighted blankets in the form of an ultra soft weighted pillow that you can hug and will hug you back, like a stress ball for your body. So welcome, welcome, Mikey.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. And we only bring on people who have ADHD or experts in ADHD. So Mikey, believe it or not, has extreme ADHD. And we are going to talk about his journey from that to creating the first ever weighted pillow.
Let's do it. Let's talk all things ADHD and resources and weighted pillows.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So Mikey, when did you realize you had ADHD?
So I tell this a lot, and I think it's, you know, it might resonate with a lot of other people with ADHD, but my mom always said, as when I was a kid, he has ants in his pants. And it was something that at the time didn't really know what it meant. And then now, you know, years later, when I connect the dots and I kind of say, okay, this makes a lot of sense. The ants in your pants, or the never being able to sit still, the highs and lows of emotions where you're not, you know, maybe throwing a typical fit. It's this all out emotional outburst, something with sensory processing where you don't, you know, interpret stimuli, you know, correctly. So it was the ants in the pants. And then through school, the biggest tell for me, or, you know, sleepovers, if I hear a clock ticking, I lose my mind.
Oh my gosh.
I absolutely lose my mind. Yeah. And so knowing this cannot be the way that other people's, because if everyone's having this exact same issue, then we all got a problem. So I think that was probably kind of those early signs of you have the ants in your pants, not being able to sit still, constantly moving. And then what's going on with these certain sounds? What's going on with these smells? And that's probably when things really were, something's happening here.
Yeah. So we could have sensory overload, and sometimes it's just too much for us. So it's funny because I am doing EMDR for my stress along with hugging your pillow. And my therapist started drinking water during one of our visualizations. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I got to just stop you for a second. Like, please stop drinking the water. I can't visualize right now. Or maybe put yourself on mute because it's distracting me. I'm sorry. I'm a people pleaser, but I had to say it. It's not going to work if, you know, you keep gulping the water. So that misophonia, the high sensitivity to sound and touch and feel, a lot of us have it.
Yeah, it's not comfortable, especially when you're a kid, you're going to these sleepovers and someone has that clock in the room and you're going, why can I not fall asleep? And why is that sound starting to make me furious? What is going on with this whole thing? Because you're trying to, you know, as a kid, you're going, other kids have sleepovers. What's going on with, you know, how do they do it? And you can't understand why there's this frustration in your brain. And I mean, even, you know, stuff where it's bad to say sometimes, where you're in an Uber, you're in a taxi, and there's a smell there. And that's the same thing where you get so frustrated. And it's these moments where,
like, you want to throw up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I get angry and you spiral because of this anger. You're going, why would the person do this? This is so rude. And it's the same type of anger that comes with sounds. And, you know, I mean, to your water story, you know, one thing, I do have a huge water. So now I'm going to be very self-conscious while grabbing my little water jug.
I have coffee and water. Okay. I'm not doing the visualization right now. Okay. And I'm actually going to move the microphone while I sip on my...
Okay.
Go for it.
Yeah. But that reminded me where when I go to, you know, if I go to the movies and if my girlfriend's eating popcorn and there's one by one and it's a crunch, crunch, that's all I focus on. And so this hyper focus on things where internally you're just reacting in a, such a negative, strong way, that to me is one of the worst parts of the ADHD where you're not comfortable. It's the easiest way to put it. You're just not comfortable.
That physiological feeling of like stress, whether it be the neck feeling or the tension in your legs or your shoulders or the headaches. When you talked about smell in a cab, one of the biggest smells that trigger my, you know, sensory issues are when I go on an airplane and they give out airplane food. It's the weirdest thing, but there's this association with the smell of the airplane food. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing bad with it, but I just cannot eat those like old fashioned chicken and vegetable meals that are on an airplane.
Yeah. I mean, that's funny you mentioned airplane. When I was a kid, and I don't do this anymore because I'm now, you know, so used to it. But when I was a kid, I would literally walk on an airplane and I would put my shirt over my nose because just the airplane smell was so alarming to me. And it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? I can't deal with this. And you look back and you're going, why was I doing that? But it was every time I was covering my nose until I could finally sort of let it settle in more calmly, less aggressively than just sort of that abrupt walk. But it was really strange to sort of, why am I having that reaction for this?
Yeah, I hear you. So you knew that you had a strong sensation for senses. So what happened once you learned you had ADHD?
So through school was obviously a struggle because I think the most, you know, common phrase is also he thinks outside the box. I could solve problems, but it wasn't by your typical way of solving the problem. It was always a workaround or how do I make my brain work for me so I can get to the answer? And you're doing that enough and then you're doing testing and the tests aren't there. But then when you're, you know, talking to the teacher orally and explaining something, she goes, you get this, what's going on with the, you know, the connection between the brain and the paper versus explaining it out loud. And so when you get tested or when I got tested, you know, you go through the whole thing. And then even the funniest part about the testing was, you know, they did this thing where they would put something in my hand. And every time we had something in my hand, I was always much more attentive or calm. And I was more diligent in my answers. And then she, you know, she noticed, she goes, I mean, that's one of the, you know, signs right there. You're able to focus when you have something to fidget with. And then you get that diagnosis. And I mean, at first this was back in, God, it was, you know, early 2000s. And you're kind of going, okay, this does make a lot of sense. But then besides some of the, you know, you get extra time. So extra time is amazing. And then you get a little bit easier. So you have the time, you get more extended for SATs, whatnot. But parents didn't say, we're going to do any ADHD medication. They said, wait until college. And also the stigma back then, it was still, is this real? So granted, besides the extra time, you didn't get a lot of comfort or you didn't get too much help because I wasn't on stimulants. So it was still pretty normal. Minus the extra time for myself. And that I think was one of the harder parts, but you know, it does help when at least for applying to a college and taking those tests and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And it's hard to get those accommodations for college because IEP doesn't necessarily go with you to college. You have to then reapply for the accommodations. So I hear you on that one. So you notice that you take tests differently, you think differently, you arrive at the answer differently. So your teacher was on top of things in understanding that about you. And you got the accommodations in college. What else changed for you once you realized you had ADHD?
I think it started, it's really when I became in tune with my body and I started listening to my body. Because up until that point, everything I was doing, there was no rhyme or reason to it, or you're not really able to pinpoint an answer for something. and saying, why did I just do that? Or why am I acting like this? Or why are things so difficult? But once I got the diagnosis, then it was, okay, now is the time where I'm going to start researching things to take. Supplements, what other ways can I control these symptoms? And that's probably, the strongest part, pre-stimulants, pre any of that, when I go, okay, now it's all about supplements, diet, exercise, what helps me, what online resources are there? And it was really the moment of just, okay, time to learn my body. And, fast forward now, I'm at the point where everything I, do or take or consume, I know exactly how it, communicates with me, how it makes me feel, because I not only am pretty strict on what I, consume or take, but I'm able to tell the, the positive, the negative reactions now, because it's such a limited, I like to bring in things, one at a time. And I think that's the biggest benefit is, once you get it, it goes, okay, now that I have it, let's start researching. Let's start learning about me. Let's start learning about why I'm, quote unquote, different. What's going on with my brain? And that was, exercise was a big one. Fish oil was a big one. Diet was a huge one. Those are the first kind of three things that I was like, we're going to start this right away.
And okay, so you started that right away. You had the motivation to understand the way that your body works best and your brain works best. And now fast forward, you're saying that you're still motivated to continue to eat healthy, take supplements that work with your brain and your body.
Yeah, because it's this relationship with stimulation and dopamine, which is this ever evolving relationship where you're always trying to find something that is not going to set you off and it's not going to go too high or too low. So that relationship where for the longest time, if I'm drinking coffee, why does coffee sometimes make me tired? Why does coffee sometimes put me in a weird mood? Or then sometimes you drink too much and then it really spikes, but then you have this super negative crash. And I'm going, what is this relationship? So then it's switching to matcha and it's saying, okay, matcha works much more effectively for me. It's more calm. Also realizing caffeine with ADHD is not the best combination. And it's trying to find those stimulation plays that work well. And it's the, the same thing with food, realizing there are certain foods that spike this dopamine or spike the serotonin. And then you consume it too much or you eat too much of it. And all of a sudden you're going, why am I so full? What just happened in that moment in time? Because you kind of black out almost by eating because you don't even realize why this rush of dopamine. And so it's this life change that really says, what's control the dopamine levels? Because, learning about how with ADHD that if we have lower dopamine levels, so the normal stimulation that a lot of people feel, the normal satisfaction, pleasure that someone might feel for something simple, we're not getting that. And how do you find a way to work around that so things just don't give you that spike? And that's why I'm always saying it's an evolving thing because I'm looking for ways that spike me just enough, but don't make me obsessed or make me, not lose my mind, but, the equivalent, I guess, a little lesser tone of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of hit on something that I was going to ask you and it was biting my tongue. But I will ask you now that you hit on it. But first, I'm going to ask you something else, not to confuse you. Did you go to school for nutrition?
I studied economics. I was in business. And the reason I found nutrition, there's a couple reasons why I became obsessed with nutrition. One, as you get older, you obviously start feeling things a little different. So if you eat something poor, the next day, maybe you're a little slower. You move a little bit heavier. But also just seeing where there was such extremes with it, where you could eat certain foods and you're almost, what's the way to put it? You're eating it not out of hunger, but out of pleasure. And this sort of pleasure eating, where for me, I'm more of a sustenance eater. The way I eat is basically, hey, let's just get food down and then move on. I don't want to think
it's
about
like
it.
My husband's right. You don't like, if you could not eat, you wouldn't, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so then seeing the moments that are almost the opposite of that, where you're going, why am I just snacking so aggressively on this because something's happening with this dopamine reward? And then you get to this beyond full point and, that I never understood because I wouldn't have these normal just pauses of you're full if I was eating kind of or the regular way. But when I would sort of overeat, over binge, something was going on. I go, this is just not fun. So looking into it, seeing the reaction with sugars as well. And then just knowing, okay, my ADHD, things are always out of whack. If food is the most simple thing that I can do, because I have to do it daily for survival, let's start with the most bare, you know, bare foods, whole grains, simple, you know, whether it's eggs, egg whites, vegetables. We don't need a lot of sauces or seasonings. And let's just start there and see the difference. And then learning about it and going, okay, if I'm doing this, things are a lot easier. Things are a lot more controlled on my end. Then I can go to the next thing. But if I'm not focusing on the fuel source, the energy as being the clean energy, the clean fuel source, it throws off the rest of the day, the process, the ADHD. So fuel in the cleanest form is just is what works for me.
So you fuel your body, fuel your brain, and you use the word obsessed. So would you say in your history of how old are you?
33.
33. That's my favorite number, actually.
Oh, great.
I was a Ewing fan, and then there's Alonzo Mourning and Larry Bird, and I can go on and on. But yes, I was a 33 basketball player, and then I hurt my knees like Ewing, for all of you 80s babies out there. But okay, so you use the word obsessed. Do you feel in order for you to be successful at something, you need to be obsessed with it?
Yes. And that's, I mean, that's a great question, because that is something I never had up until starting Quiet Mind. And that obsession where you're going, this works, or I can do this, but there's such a level of defeat. You know, you feel depleted while doing stuff that you don't have the passion for, where, and it's not even, and it's this struggle to even get yourself to that goal or to that job where you're going, this feels like, you know, maybe I don't like this, but God, there's just nothing stimulating there. And seeing the relationship of stimulation and obsession and learning how they're connected and just learning about stimulation. I mean, it was always previous to what I was doing. Yeah. If I was not obsessed, I wouldn't do it, but then I would hyper-focus on something and you're overly obsessed, you know? And I saw something where it was about ADHD people, you know, you'll focus on something for 2 weeks and then move on. And it was, that was always the theme of me. It was 2 weeks of obsession, then move on.
But I see that with nutrition and with the pillow, you weren't this isn't a 2 week fix. You were totally motivated in it. And I'm sure there were days where you had off days, but you still like figured out your path in order to create a healthy lifestyle and also this product that is helping lots of people and hopefully will help millions someday. So sounds like you had motivation.
Yeah. And it goes into the kind of the routine, where the routine becomes when you find something that works, I don't even know the right way to put it, where when you find something that works, you almost put it in the routine, and the routine becomes the obsession, where I don't even know if obsession is the right word, but for me, the routine is everything. So when I have routine, when I have structure, when I have, you know, less indecision, we're doing well. We're okay. You know, I tell people I wear the same, you know, shirts every day, because if I go look at a shirt and if I don't do that, then I go, what am I going to need that one for? Or maybe I'll need this one. Or what am I going to do later today? Where you're having this conversation internally that makes no sense. And you go, hold on, just put the same thing. So when I obsess over something and then throw into this routine bucket, then it takes the decision away. And I go, I know I'm going to work. This is going to work for me. So it's exercise. Then it's the food thing, the nutrition. That's in the routine. And so then I guess I view it a little differently as the obsession. Same thing with work now as in the routine. Or, well, no, I guess the work's probably an obsession. But yes, it's that routine.
So your
side.
Routine is the obsession, and you find the things that you're obsessed with and you put it into your routine. And I love the clothing analogy, because Steve Jobs did the same thing, and Elizabeth, what's her last name? The one who's arrested now.
Holmes.
Holmes. Yeah. She would do the same thing, because there's no like cognitive overload there. You wear a black shirt and jeans, and that's it. There's no thought process, and you make that a routine of yours.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't understand that, because I think too, with, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, it was, he also did the same thing. People were going, what is this? Mm-hmm. And it really helps take, you know, keep yourself moving and keeps you away from distraction. Cause I've had times where, like I mentioned, where you're looking at it and you have this conversation playing out every scenario. What's the weather? Where are you going to go? When you know you're not even going to go anywhere that day, you're like, hey, I'm working from home. Right? Because, you know, I'm going to the office.
Exactly. Like, but who cares what the weather is?
Yeah. And it makes no sense. And you're just going, okay, let's cut that out, throw it into the routine, turn that into the obsession, and then move on. Because it just, that internal monologue is crazy with some ADHD people, especially myself, where it just goes back and forth and you're spinning your mm-hmm. wheels.
Yeah. So where does your girlfriend fall into your routine?
Where does my girlfriend fall into my routine? So that's actually something with the new venture, learning how to put that into routine and saying, okay, usually this is where we talk or this is where we spend our time. Learning how to actually, you know, adopt, I'm trying to phrase it in a way I don't get in trouble, to make it where, because it's
a beautiful thing about a podcast. We could cut it, but we're not.
No, we should keep it because it's something I've actually struggled with, because when you're always on and you're so obsessed with work and you're so focused on what you're doing because you love that, you have to go, how do I make time for the outside world? How do I make time for life? And it's actually something that's gotten me in trouble in previous relationships, careers. And it was more from the stimulant side, but the ADHD side of you're so focused that you do forget that other stuff and you do forget how to pause it. And so what we do now that actually works is it's always sort of this connection, this call, this chat, this catch up around the 5 o'clock time when we're both off and we can at least have our moment. You know, I'll end for the day and I'll go on a walk. And so I know on this walk, because I need that to get outside, I need to, you know, have a break, that we put that into our routine where it's every day. And even with, you know, my system, where when I call her and she doesn't answer, I go, what's going on? And it feels a little weird internally because you're like, something's just a little bit off. So it's putting in those, you know, putting her into the routine, as weird as that sounds, where she goes, this is our time to talk. And then on weekends, it's okay. Is this a weekend where it's going to be working? Is this a weekend off? And fully committing to the off, because there's no together and work, because
there's no in between. It's all or nothing.
Yeah, it really is all or nothing. And, you know, it's funny you ask that, because looking at previous relationships and previous careers when I was doing, you know, I come from tech marketing up in Silicon Valley. And with the previous girlfriend or previous relationships, previous family, there's this sort of drive and this obsession and this way you tune out the world, and whether that's on your computer, whether that's with stimulants, or whether, you know, whatever you're doing, that coming up for air going, hold on, I do need to incorporate the rest of life into what I'm doing, because it can turn into a blackout at times where you go, wait, what is going on with everybody else? Why am I not, you know, being as connected with my family, being connected with girlfriends, with friends? Because you just kind of forget, which is, I mean, it's the simplest way to put it. You just forget.
Out of sight, out of mind for an ADHDer, the struggle is so real, and that goes into all of the other buckets of our life, like texting people back, going to sleep, you know, whatever you don't focus on, you know, it's in trouble, essentially. But what you focus on grows, like Tony Robbins says. So I love that you are intentional about that, because you obviously really care about your relationship and you schedule time for each other. There's those non-negotiables when you guys are together. Mm-hmm. Work cannot interfere.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, actually.
Thank you. So speaking of work, tell me a little bit about your motivation for the Weighted Pillow.
So like I mentioned, I come from this world of tech marketing. I was in San Francisco, up in Silicon Valley for 8 years before I moved down to mm-hmm. LA. I've been down here for a little over 5 years. And I was doing marketing. I was always doing things, you know, I learned about marketing and how to market software. And so I had this background knowledge, but there was something about it that never really felt, you know, right to me. And this was also when, you know, I got to college, or, you know, before that I got to college, and that's when I went on prescription stimulants. And this was back when there was this huge overprescription. So every time mm-hmm. I would have a side effect from a stimulant.
Wait, when there was an overprescription back then, not now?
True. Very true. I guess that, yes, right now everything's running out and no one can get it. I guess the way I meant it was treating side effects with medication. So everything back then was, oh, you're having this problem, we're going to give you more medication. So I was taking stimulants. I was taking benzos. I was taking sleep pills. I was taking multiple stimulants for short term, long term, and doing this and going, this is crazy in my mental health, and not even realizing that the benzo side of things, didn't, you know, then have anxiety, but it was, I couldn't sleep. So let's try that for sleeping. And I graduate, I'm on a million things. I'm going, this is crazy. Trying to figure out other ADHD people, where are these resources? You know, where are people talking about what they're doing in a natural way? Because it wasn't working for me. The stimulants worked, But the over kind of taking everything, you know, the mismanagement, that's what did not work for me. And it took a toll on the mental health. So I always had this passion. I got to find the natural things that we touched on it, you know, with the diet, exercise. And so I get off everything and fast forward, I go, okay, natural, natural, natural. I get a weighted blanket. Weighted blankets, especially over COVID, blew up because they naturally calm you down. And I go, these are great. This works really well.
But they're really like hot.
They're hot.
Some of them are too heavy.
They're cumbersome. You get claustrophobic and, yes, you know, I, yes, and yes, it yes. sits somewhere. And so it's on my bed and, you know, I, after a couple nights or long, you know, multiple nights, you wake up, you're get off of me or you're trying to pull it on you. It's like the biggest struggle. I go, let me just order a weighted pillow. Turn over, look on Amazon, nothing. I go, that's weird. Okay, go to sleep. Next day, let me get a weighted pillow. I already sleep with pillows and I keep searching and there's no weighted pillows. And I thought I was missing something because weighted pillow is, it's very simple, makes sense, straightforward. And I go, what is going on? Where's this weighted pillow? Mm-hmm. And I could not for the life of me find a weighted pillow. And that is when this moment goes, I'm just obsessed with this. This is something in me that I cannot get my, you know, take my focus off of. So I bought some supplies on Amazon, made a weighted pillow. I go, oh my God, this works way more efficiently than blankets, which I can touch on later, which why it works more efficiently. And it was one of those things where the second the weighted pillow popped in my head, every single day I did more and I did more. And I got to the point where I was doing it more than my job. And I, you know, I went and told somebody about it. I said, hey, I got this idea. I feel like I'm crazy. I feel like I'm missing something. He goes, this is brilliant. We talked about the ADHD thing. We talked about how it naturally would help people ground them, calm them down. And it was kind of right then that I go, I've been waiting my entire life to find something that I'm passionate about. This gave me purpose. This gave me my life's purpose. You know, it's like, you know, I'm, you know, not too old, but it gave me that purpose that I didn't have prior, where I go, I can help my community. I can make natural resources. I can make natural products. I can just do something that say, hey, let's try this versus the alternative. And that's how I started Quiet Mind. Mm.
I have to tell you, I truly believe in your product. You had sent me the green and blue one. I happen to like your pillow colors. So good job on the color beast. And you have the small, I think you sent me the small and the medium size. And I was having a really stressful week when you had sent me them. And I literally just put it on my chest. I sat there, I held it. And you didn't ask for anything in return, but I just was holding them. Oh my gosh. Literally, like 5 minutes later, my whole nervous system just became calm. And my uncle passed away recently, just unexpectedly. I gave the medium sized one to my dad, and he's like, what is this thing? I was like, just use it. Hold it when you feel stressed and use it. I'm gifting you this. I'm keeping the blue one. Don't even go there with that. But it really makes such a difference. And even for sleeping, I'm a side sleeper. So what I realized after having my baby is that I need to hold something. I used to use those pregnancy pillows even after I had my baby because, you know, having my knees with a pillow underneath it and my arms with a pillow underneath it. But now I use the weighted pillow and it just, yeah, I can't explain it. You just got to try it. It's genius.
Well, thank you. It was one of those moments too where people, you know, you hear weighted pillow, you search weighted pillow, like, okay, this isn't here. And I, you know, after building the weighted pillow, I kind of learned what maybe, or I, you know, I hypothesized why people probably didn't jump into the weighted pillow, because I obsessed over the details to help with sensory stimulation and how to make the weighted pillow work for your nervous system, how to make it work with your body, where it's not this beanbag, it's not this, you know, poorly made thing. And I go, okay, for your nervous system to work, when you place weight on top of you, it's called deep pressure stimulation. And it's this reaction that starts, you know, begins to start with your nervous system, where the goal is to go from fight or flight to rest and digest. And it does that by pressure and weight, increased serotonin, increased dopamine, increased melatonin while decreasing cortisol, the stress hormone. And so if you're getting all of that, you know, that those neurotransmitters react with pressure and weight, you have to then tell your nervous system, we like this. We are comfortable with it. So in our weighted pillow, we came up with this, you know, patent pending design to hide the weight. So when you squeeze it, it literally feels like a pillow versus I made different prototypes where you could feel some of the hard stuff inside and you're going, this doesn't work. And you're getting kind of uncomfortable and your nervous system saying, nope, we don't like this. So we had to hide it. Then the next thing we had to do was we had to have this memory foam that, you know, everyone who's gone to yoga or when you do breath work, or if you're stressed out, they say, you know, breathe in, breathe out, take deep breaths. And I go, okay, well, I want the pillow to breathe in and breathe out kind of like a human would, or at least give you enough resistance that if you're doing a 4 second, 7 second, you know, in and out, it breathes with you and you can squeeze it. So it feels like that human sort of reaction. And so doing the special memory foam and making it, you know, blend in with the weighted core, that was the next component. And then finally, it was the fabric. You know, I talk about fidget spinners or sensory process disorder. I wanted the fabric where really give you this feedback for your fingertips that goes, ooh, I like this. There's more sensory stimulation to aid in the overall experience. So then you're really able to say when you place it on top of you, hey, your nervous system goes, okay, we like this. That's okay. Let's shift over to that rest and digest. And let's really increase the amount of dopamine, serotonin that we can get into your body, because it's almost kind of, you know, I tell people it's almost like tricking your nervous system because we like it, we're comfortable, and then we're able to get more of those hormones in. And it's more efficient than a weighted blanket, where weighted blankets don't give you that same amount of calm and comfort because it's not the same amount of pressure and weight.
Correct. I definitely feel that. And what I think is so helpful, I used to be a special education teacher and I got my master's in that. And I was an assistant director of special education for children with autism and, like, you know, extreme sensory issues. They used to put vests, weighted vests on them. So this is something that doesn't have any like negative association with it. It pretty much gives that same type of effect, right? But it's a pillow. Mm-hmm. You take it with you wherever you want. You know, you could drive with it, you could sit with it on the couch, you could sleep with it. And it just really, it does, really, really does calm your nervous system. So you became obsessed with the need for this. And obviously you came through a lot of like trials and tribulations. You said that you had a lot of different prototypes, I'm sure. Your house is covered with different types of pillows.
They're
I know
everywhere.
My husband's going through that right now with his prototype of something. Yeah, it just shows, and everyone who's listening, that if you're really, really believing in something and you have a passion for something, you can make it a career. You can make it your passion. You can make money off of it. There's so many ADHDers that wish they could quit their day jobs and say, I just wish, you know, what I enjoy doing, I can make money off of. Well, look, you did it. And I'm sure it wasn't easy, but you stuck with it. And how long did it take from start to end?
It was a little over 2 years from idea to we're live as a company. And it was one of those things internally that just something fuels you, something keeps you going. And, you know, as you're growing up and learning, you always hear people talk about these ideas that they do, that they love. And you're going, God, I wish I could figure that out. Or how do I get that? You know, how do I find something that I can do?
But you don't search for it. It comes to you, right?
This is the weirdest part of the story, where the way it popped in my head, where I was just sitting there, it could not have been more clear. Where it's, you know, I'm in bed, I'm struggling with the weighted blanket, and the way weighted blanket pops in my head, because I already sleep with the pillow under my arm, on my stomach, and I just go, that was odd. And it from that moment was obsession. And I can't really explain it, but I don't know why it was so clear that it did focus everything inside me. It goes, well, we're not giving that up. And then, yeah, you know, it took over 2 years. This was also over COVID, I think. 2021 was when we started. In, I want to say April or March was when that the idea and I first reached out to someone. And then it was figuring out, okay, I got to learn how to do direct to consumer. I need to learn how to build a product. Who do you reach out to? I tried to do it locally. Then I had to go over back to China to make it because the supply chain and locally everyone wanted to build the stuff in China anyway. So it was really hard to figure out how do you do this. And then finally we got out and it was just, there's something in you that just tells you keep going. And it goes back to the, I was a kid, I was struggling, and I wanted something that had these type of resources. And I wanted something that talked about a story that I could relate to. Because for me, I needed a person I could look at and go, oh, I see myself in that. That would have helped me because now I can follow his playbook. And so I just thought, you know what? I can have this product. I can tell my story because it was something that I, you know, wanted as a kid. If I could help someone with the story, or then at least offer resources in other forms to help someone, you know, going through something, it just all, you know, kind of connected my dots. And I go, this is it. I have to do this.
I love that. So lots there to unpack. And for those of you who are either in school and are out of the box thinkers, or people who are wanting to launch something that they're passionate about, listen to Mikey. I'm sure he'd be happy to share any, you know, hardships or processes along the way if you reach out to him on One Quiet Mind, it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can shoot me an email. It's mikey@onequietmind.com. The company name is Quiet Mind, but unfortunately, there is a quietmind.com that somebody has had for 30 years or something. They're not willing to give it up. So right now, it's onequietmind.com. You can reach out to me at mikey@onequietmind.com. Our Instagram, though, is Quiet Mind, which is pretty fun. So you can find us on Instagram. And then the last thing I'll say about the pillows, which is actually one of the sort of the secret weapons or the magic sauce with our pillows compared to blankets. When you hug something for 10 seconds or more, you release oxytocin. Oxytocin, mm-hmm. The social bonding, the cuddle love hormone. And so when you take the pillow and you start squeezing this for 10 seconds and more, you actually get that added benefit that the blankets don't give you, because the blankets will give you those other hormones. But this blends into the other hormones and it creates this warmth, this grounding, safety and security that really helps for people just going, hey, okay, you know, if you're lonely, if you're at home, it just adds the sort of element of this calm that you're not getting with blankets. And it really is a magical experience to give this thing a squeeze and see what your natural, you know, hormones can do for you.
Yeah, I love that. So one thing that you would share to everyone listening that would be your tool for success?
The one thing for my tool, listen to your body. I think it could not be more clear as I got older to go, whatever is going to work with my body, we're going to do that. Because you can fight it, you can try and do things that don't. But for my success, it has always been, you know, especially as of late, if I eat something and it works, perfect. If I don't, we're not doing that anymore. If I do an exercise that works, or, you know, a time for me that works, which is the morning, we're going to do that. And it's whatever I can do to listen to the body and say, add the things that work, we're just going to keep it that way. And so I'm always listening to my body every single day, because if I don't, something goes wrong and you cause it to go haywire, the nervous system gets out of whack. So the best piece of advice, you know, listen to the body and let that be kind of your.
Love that. Well, Mikey, thank you for coming on today, and we'll share where people can reach you in the show notes. And I just appreciate your time and your innovation.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love talking ADHD. I love being a part of this community. I think it's a small community that we're finally growing. We're being talked about. So I love how I can help. And yes, please, anyone reach out to me. I do like it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Successful with ADHD. I hope it helped you on your journey. And if you need any additional support for you or a loved one with ADHD, feel free to reach out to us at coachingwithbrooke.com and all social media platforms at coachingwithbrooke. And remember, it's Brooke with an E. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.